Good evening, everyone. It's good to see everyone here tonight. You notice it's a little brighter outside. Should be enjoyable tomorrow. As the summer comes, it's one of those things that brings back memories for me with work. I used to work early morning and then get home late in the afternoon. And so I always enjoy when the sun comes up because I missed it for many, many years. We're going to continue in Galatians today. Back to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. We're going to be looking at the last couple of verses here, starting with verse number 16 is where we're going to kick off. If you'll remember, we kind of froze in time a conversation between Paul and Peter. There was a issue going on in the church where Peter and a bunch of the Jews had started to eat separated from the Gentiles. And because of what Peter was doing, others were getting drawn over with him. And Paul jumps up and deals with the issue. And so, for sake of imagination, we kind of froze him in time. Paul's probably pointing his finger at Peter. Peter's sitting there, probably kind of holding, and they're just frozen. Now we're going to come back, and we're going to unfreeze the conversation. Because what we ended on last time, Paul started with a question to Peter. And let me just read that question real quick. Verse 14, for just the sake of context, getting caught back up into what is going on. Paul says this to Peter: "And when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If thou being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews?" It was a question that Paul had left to Peter. Paul continues on. He says this: "We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles..." I'm going to read all the way through the end. "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." This is a powerful section of scripture that we're going to unpack tonight when Paul is dealing with talking to Peter about this issue of justification by faith. Why is Paul having to deal with justification by faith? Well, as a reminder, the Galatian church has been infiltrated by Judaizers. These are people who are trying to bring elements of the Jewish religion into Christianity. And they were telling those in the church in Galatia, you had to be circumcised to be in order to be saved. You had to keep certain holy days, as we'll see as we go through Galatians. And so Paul, when hearing of this, is now writing to them, defending his position as an apostle of God, but also reminding them of the truth of what the gospel is and how that the Galatian church needs to stand for the truth and not let it get mixed with the law. Paul is showing the church that the message of faith is the same. Even Peter knows this. Even Peter, as you see in his statement, knows that we are justified by faith. And as we see here, Peter talking to Paul, I'm going to probably get those two flipped up back and forth. Got to make sure I get that right. And for those of you who were judging me last time I preached, yes, I do know leaven or yeast is a fungus. Why I said bacterium, I don't know, but if you're trying to hold that against me, I have no regrets. It is my bad. Something small, I can't see it, test tube, I think bacterium. I don't know. My brain does that. So if you're trying to hold that one over me, sorry, I'll admit it. It is my bad. Fungus, I know. Paul, speaking to Peter, asks him this very important question. Why are you making the Gentiles live like Jews? So we are not Gentiles. We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles. Now, Paul here is not saying we are Jews and those horrible sinners over here, Gentiles. He's not using it that way. What we have to understand is as a Jew, they looked at the Gentiles as Gentiles, those horrible Gentiles, those people who are not like us, the not Jews, they're sinners, those people over there. And so Paul is using a term that was known to the Jews as an identifier for Gentiles. Paul and Peter were not. They were both very Jew. In fact, if we were to look at Paul's pedigree, he was very Jewish. We have Peter, who was a fisherman, and so we know these guys were Jews. They were Jews by birth. Look what he said. We are Jews by nature. We are born Jews. We're not Gentiles. We're not. They were not adopted. They were not paid into the Jewish system. They were by nature Jews, by birth, under the law and customs of the Mosaic law that Moses had given to the people. They were to follow the Old Testament laws as a Jew. That is what they understood until their lives were changed by Jesus Christ. The Jews do have differences from the Gentiles. One of the most important differences about the Jews is unto them were committed the oracles of God. One of the things, I was taking an Old Testament survey this last 8 weeks, and one of the most amazing things that I got to see that I never really saw before was just the strategic location of where Israel is and how much God put them right in the center and how all of that played into the history of the nations. It is fascinating. But God had committed to the Jews, God chose a man by the name of Abraham and committed to them the promise of the coming Messiah. They were not Gentiles. They were non-Jews. Now, the Galatians, those in the church of Antioch, there were Gentiles. These were those who, you and I, are Gentiles today. And so we have a mixture of the two taking place, and that is why Paul is making very clear definition between the two. So we're going to see here now verse 16. Verse 16, Paul is going to continue on in a powerful statement. Have you ever read a passage in the scripture, and when you read it the first time, you read it and it kind of clicked, and then as you studied it and read it more the weight kind of hit you? I'll be honest, as I studied this last passage in Galatians, the weight of what Paul is saying has been just, I've been shocked and just really enjoying it. So hopefully I can unpack it for us here tonight, and you will see the same joy. Paul says this, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Paul, speaking to Peter, is saying that we know that there is no way that we can work for the salvation. But in fact, we have chosen by faith to look to this one, Jesus Christ. So why justification? Why is this justification by faith? Why is Paul hitting on this issue? It's a big word. In fact, without spelling, it would be incorrect. In fact, if you were to look at my notes, whenever I type justification, my fingers went the wrong way, had the red squiggles. Yes, don't ask me to spell it. Justification. Big word. Big word. But what does it mean? Justification is a legal term of our being declared legally free from the sins that are on our account. If you picture our life moving forward, there is no way for you and I to go backwards in time. We can't go back and fix what was done yesterday or what was done years ago. It's in the past. We are moving forward. Someone has to pay for that. Someone has to declare it justified. And so this word justified is a legal term, meaning it is no longer held to our account. The blot is no longer registered to us. Paul is declaring that people are not right before God by working in the law. Rather, they are declared right from all of their sins by faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone. Because when it comes to justification, man needs someone to justify him. We have to have justification. Man is not able to do this on our own. Man's sin, since the garden, has put a rift between us and God. Man's sin, when one man sinned, death passed upon all men, the Bible said. And because of that, all of us are under the condemnation of sin. And there is not a thing that you and I could do to mend that rift. Isaiah 64:6 tells us, but we are all as an unclean thing. And all our righteousness is as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf. And our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. There is nothing that we can do to justify ourselves in the sight of God. There's no way we can stand up on the hill and wave a flag and say, look what I have done. There's no way to come to the door of heaven and tell, Lord, I've done this. I can come in. That is not the case. Paul, later on, is going to quote Psalms 143, verses 1 and 2. David cries out, hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplication. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. See, the Old Testament is full of the fact that there is no way that man can justify or make himself right in the eyes of God. It is all done by this person in the work of Jesus Christ. Paul and Peter had experienced this gospel. Peter had experienced walking and talking with Jesus Christ as he went along the shore, as they went through the towns. Peter was there as Christ was hung up upon a cross. He saw Jesus resurrected from the grave. And before that, he had been one of those ones who had run to the grave, found it empty. And he got to talk with the Lord and walk with the Lord. And yes, he also had that one last special opportunity to talk with God when they were fishing. Peter knew who this man was. Paul, he was a different sort. He was one of the Judaizers, one who was against this new faith that was drawing people out of Judaism into following this man, Jesus Christ. And Paul, he met the Lord on the road to Damascus, and the Lord knocked him off that horse and woke him up. A wonderful thing that took place with Paul's life. Paul and Peter both had known. You'll notice Paul says that to Peter. Look what he says there. If you put your eyes on verse 16 with me, he says, knowing that man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we, Peter, you and I have believed in Jesus Christ. Peter, we have believed, and that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. Peter. Remember, Peter is in this moment doing a poor example by separating from the Gentiles, with the Jews. They are separating, saying there's a difference here. And Peter is setting a bad example. And Paul is dealing with him. Peter, we have believed, right? Right? We know a man or persons, this is not referring to just men, it is all people, the human race, are not justified by works, but by faith in Christ. Peter had accepted this. If you were to look at Acts 15, 10, 11, here's Peter speaking. He says this, now therefore, why tempt ye God? This is dealing with another issue of Judaizers in the church at Antioch. The church in Antioch was being overrun by those who came and said, unless you were circumcised like the law of Moses, you cannot be saved. And Paul and Barnabas had many altercations with them. And so they went to Jerusalem to get this issue resolved. Not an issue of like the Church of Rome putting down the gavel, but where the apostles were there and where they could all come together and have it finalized. And hey, let's deal with this issue. And Peter stood up amongst the group, all of these people there, and said this in referencing this issue. Why tempt ye God and put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe, as through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. Paul, Peter is referencing to this fact that salvation or the justification comes through the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is no difference between Gentile or Greek or the Jew. Paul says this in Acts 13. This is actually when Paul and Barnabas were getting ready in the Galatian area. Paul was dealing with some of the Jews that were pushing back against the gospel coming into this region. Paul said this in Acts 13, 38 through 39. He said, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, referring to Jesus Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, all that believe are justified from forgiveness of sins. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. See, both of these men knew the truth. Both of these men stood for the truth, the faith. Justification is by faith in Jesus Christ alone and in no other. These two men could have boasted in their rights as Jews. They could have. But they were willing to set aside the 600 plus laws of the Old Testament and realize that it didn't matter if they could keep any of them, they did not justify or make one right with God. If you try to take just the Ten Commandments and apply it honestly to your own life, to my life, I find I have fallen short of that. And just in Ten Commandments, I cannot even say I have kept perfectly. The law makes us guilty. And you'll see Paul says three times in one verse, works get us nothing. When it comes to the declaration of being right with God, that God has forgiven our sin, man is not justified by works of the law, nor for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. We know that a man is not justified by the works of the law. It's not, but it is all in the faith of Jesus Christ. Both of these men knew the truth. If you read 2 Peter 1:1, years later, Simon Peter says this, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them who have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. There's no mention of works there because Peter, this is not justified by works, but it is by Jesus Christ. Paul says in Romans 3:20, therefore by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. And then in a few weeks, a few months, probably by now, Galatians 3:21. Is the law then against the promise of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law which could be given that could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. Paul says, if there had been a law that could give us life, if there had been something, don't do this or do this, it would have been given. But there is none. Both men knew that works, doing things to say that we are now right with God, is not possible. And when we look at the Galatians, you know, one of the things that is interesting, we have the beauty, we have the amazing ability to open up the scripture and see the whole story from beginning to end. We get to read Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. We get to go through the Psalms. We get to go through the New Testament and we see the picture now. We see the Word of God complete. But at the moment, Paul writing to the Galatians, you know what they had? Galatians and the Old Testament. They couldn't turn to Romans like we could. They couldn't turn over to Romans and check chapter 3, verse 20. So, how did they know what was being talked about? Well, first and foremost, the message hadn't changed. What Paul was preaching, faith in Jesus Christ. The Old Testament that declared what was coming, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. They had the words of the apostles that told them what Christ had said. The apostles taught the message which was from Christ. They taught how the Old Testament emphasized the coming of this one. Isaiah 64, Psalms 143, we just looked at those where the Christ and the promise needed to come. The Old Testament points to Christ. John 5:39 says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Christ talking to the Pharisees, who are you? Christ said, well, look at the Old Testament and you'll find me there. You will see me. Christ used the Old Testament to prove himself to his disciples. Luke 24:27. This was fascinating. I was reading this the other day and it just blew my mind. So in Luke 24:27, the Lord has risen from the dead and there's two men who are taking a walk to Emmaus and they're discussing the situation of what's going on. Christ had died. The grave was empty. What's going on? And this man joins up with them, starts talking with them. Friends, what are you talking about? What's going on? And they're like, where have you been? Haven't you seen all the posts on the news? There was, you know, Jesus was killed. He came. We thought he was going to be the Messiah. And now the grave is empty. It's been 3 days and we don't know where he's at. And the Bible says the Lord was, oh, ye of little faith. And then verse 27 says this, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. I find it fascinating that Jesus did not just, hello people, don't you recognize me? But instead, he went to the scripture, he went to the word of God to show his disciples, look, here I am. Here it is, the authority based on the word of God. And that word of God is what is being preached to the Galatians. The fact that Jesus taught that he was the only way to the Father, This was the message that the apostles are producing and putting out into the world. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Imagine you're a Roman and then being told in all the pantheon of gods that you have, there's only one. And he's not in marble. He doesn't look like anything of our imagination, but he is the great God of heaven. And he, Lord himself, imagine the change that would take place. You'd have to, wow. Jesus Christ taught that it was faith in him that would bring eternal life. John 11:25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. This is when Lazarus was dead. Dead as a doornail. And in the grave, stinking. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. The one that was being taught fulfilled the law. Jesus Christ, Matthew 5:17, he said, think that I am not come to destroy the law and the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. When it comes to destroying, as a boy, breaking things, my boys will attest to this, that's easy. Destroying things, wonderful. That was when Jeremiah was a wee lad. That was like the first thing he'd do is, does it break? To see if it breaks. Destroying is easy. But to fulfill something, to complete it to the perfection where there's no longer needed to look back at. There's no reason to. It's fulfilled. The Old Testament law, the requirements, the thou shalls and the thou shalt not, satisfied under Jesus Christ. He told the thief on the cross, this day you'll be with me in paradise. And think about that thief on the cross. He could not argue about this issue that Paul and Peter are having to deal with right now. Works. Because it's really hard to do works when you're hanging from a cross and there's nails driven between your hands. This one who reviled him, mocked him, in his last breath looked at Jesus and said, Lord, remember me when thou comest to thy kingdom. And the Lord didn't say to him, how's your works hanging out? Have you done good things? Have you been obeying the Old Testament? No, Jesus looked at him and saw his faith and said, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. Blessed are they who have not seen me, Jesus said, and yet have believed. Blessed are they who have seen me and done all the Ten Commandments and been circumcised and no. Blessed are they that have not seen me and yet believe. These are what Jesus taught. These are things that Jesus had presented to the world. And his apostles went forth proclaiming the glorious message that men can be right in the eyes of God through his Son, Jesus Christ. See, justification by faith is not a muddy water. Look what Paul says here in verse 17. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. If we're going to claim that we are justified by faith, Peter, if we're going to claim this, what I just said, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, if we're going to claim that, and then we're going to say, well, now we're sinners because we're not keeping the law, are we saying that Christ made us sin in some way? Paul's asking a rhetorical question, and he uses this phrase that is an absolutely not. Paul states with a passion that can only be expressed with as much force as possible here when we see that word, God forbid. And just an interesting side note, some translations will say, certainly not. When you look at the King James translators, and you'll find that this phrase is as passionate as they could get. And if you go and look at it for the word God and forbid, it's not there. So you wonder why? Well, it's because they're trying to say the most passionate statement of no, absolutely not. God forbid. He did not make us sin, is what Paul was telling them. Christ was not vague on this salvation. Christ was not vague on it at all. Salvation has always been and will always be faith. Habakkuk 2:4. Habakkuk is not in your New Testament. Habakkuk is in the Old Testament. Minor prophets. And he says this, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. but the just shall live by his faith. The just shall live by his faith. And as we go through Galatians, Paul is going to build upon this even more. We're going to get to look at Abraham. We're going to look at the faith that takes place. But again, Paul is trying to lay down the groundwork as an apostle of God. There is no wiggle room when it comes to this justification. We are declared right by God by Christ alone, by nothing in which we have done. Paul then continues, "For if I rebuild again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor." We do not rebuild, Peter. God has torn it down. It is destroyed. When Christ died upon the cross, the veil in the temple, the Bible says, was rent from top to bottom. Commentators say that this curtain, this veil, was 30 feet wide by 60 feet long. And it was about a hand's width wide. So my hand width, that's impressive. Pastor's hand's a little bit bigger, be even more impressive. So give or take, somewhere in there. I couldn't even begin to scratch the thread on that thing. And yet Christ, when his death was on the cross, the Father reached down and shredded that veil of separation that separated the Holy of Holies from the Holiest. And the sanctuary where the priests went only once a year has been broken. And the book of Hebrews goes into that in much more elaborate detail. But it has been destroyed. It has been taken out. And Paul says, if I build on this foundation, remember the previous rhetorical question, he says, if I say that I am justified in faith in Jesus Christ, but then I try to put works on upon it, that doesn't make sense. For if I am doing this, I am the one that's at fault. If I am truly trying to build upon this foundation that Christ has laid works, then it's my fault. I am doing wrong. Because the foundation that has been laid by Christ is a sure foundation. If Paul builds his ideas on what Christ has done away with, then Paul is at fault, not Christ. The very works of the law are the ones, The very works of the law that one would say justifies them in the sight of God are actually the very thing that proves them wrong. Because when we look at the Old Testament and we see the laws of God as given by Moses, we realize we can't. Are we really so naive to think that we could take and do anything and compare it to the cost of Christ upon the cross? Is there anything we can do compared to? We can't. The Galatians were building on the foundation, the destroyed foundation. See, they had heard the message from Paul. They had embraced with joy, if you look back in Acts 13, the message that they could have salvation through Jesus Christ. But the Jewish customs started to leak in. And there were the Judaizers who are now leaking in. And the Galatians are now doing what was happening here. And Paul is saying, no. We can't rebuild that. It's gone. It's done. It's destroyed. They were choosing to follow a lie and not the truth. Galatians, Peter, they were muddying salvation by allowing works to infiltrate the system and by making works how they would be right, look like they were right with God. We cannot build the new foundation. We cannot build we cannot take what God has made and say, well, I want to put all the good things that I have done on it. Well, the Bible already says our good things aren't worth anything to put on there. I want to live right. Well, you can live right, yes. That's a separate issue. Sanctification, allowing to live right. But when it comes to this legal standing of being right in the eyes of God, there's only one who can do that. There's only one. A religious life, following the Old Testament laws, will do nothing. Galatians 3:10 says this, "For as many as are the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them." And when I think back to when Moses spoke those words, I'd be like, that would scare me. Because I mean, just think about that. Cursed is anyone who continueth not in all things that are written in this book of the law. Well, there's only one who did, and he was Jesus Christ. And he is the only one who was able to satisfy and fulfill the law. and we want to bring works to this. And that is what Paul is fighting. Verse 18. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I might make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. See, the dust of the past convicts us. I died to the law through the law. Paul says the law, when he really looked at it, it killed him. It killed him. Because he realized, what can I do? I can't. Even as good as a Pharisee as I am, it killed me. The law destroyed me. And when we think of death, death is the end of living and moving forward. Paul is saying that the law killed and put an end to him. He couldn't move forward in that aspect of being right. It killed it. When we look at the statement, it's not saying that the old had no point. And it's not out with the old, but that the old, that Paul is trying to say, look at the new. Look at the Messiah. Look at Jesus Christ. Paul was going to go deeper into this issue years later when he writes to the Romans. But the message never changed. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This message of faith has been the same. It kills me. The law killed me. But it did it for a reason. It did it for a reason. That I might live unto God. See, the old shows the fullness of the life that is in Christ. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Jesus said that. He's not the God of the dead. Christ brings life. It is life with Christ. Life more abundantly. And when Christ came and he fulfilled the law, yes, the law, when it comes down to it, we see our wretched, horrid self in the eyes of God. But then when we look past, we see Christ. And then we now have the opportunity to live in Christ. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. We have a purpose with the law, yes. It was to kill our righteousness. The law showed us that there was no way we could satisfy the demand of God's holiness. Justified by faith in Christ brings confidence. And you're going to see that now in Paul. Paul says this, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Paul is saying that I am, not in part, but Paul as a whole was placed on the cross. Not physically, but in the body of Christ, all of the sin, the evil, the wretchedness that Paul had done was placed upon the Savior when he hung upon the cross. Everything that he had was crucified with Christ. All his sin debt, all the things that stood between him and God were placed upon him. He is crucified. Paul says this statement three times in the book of Galatians alone, that I am crucified with Christ. I have crucified the flesh to Christ. I have placed it all on Christ. And when we think of crucifixion, it's not pretty. The scourging, the humiliation, the death, the ingenuity that the Romans had for death is not pretty. But Paul is saying that all he has and all the things that he's done has been crucified and placed on Christ. It's over. There's nothing that can come back from that. You don't come back from a crucifixion. There's no way you can come back from a crucifixion. Paul is saying that he, Paul, is no longer the one seen by God, but Jesus. When the Father looks at Paul, it's not Paul, but it is Christ. We are hidden in our, and our identity is in Christ. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Even though all the stuff of the past was destroyed, I live. Yet not I. It is not in the strength of Paul, it is not the things that I do, Paul is reminding Peter, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by all the works of the law, by being right, by paying tithe. No, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The God of heaven who loved me, gave himself for me. Paul says, I don't have anything that I can bring to this. I can't come to the table and say, God, I was the perfect Pharisee. I have rights to enter heaven. He is sitting there saying the most passionate way that Paul does, it's all dead in Christ. Everything that I am and everything that I was is hung upon Him. And the only thing that I have now hangs upon Him. And the reason I live and the reason I have a hope and for eternity, for today, tomorrow, is because of what Jesus Christ did for me. Faith is resting, trusting in that finished work of Christ and nothing else. True confidence. Christ lives in me. This is not possible with man-made religions. They try. They work up emotional responses to things. But the fact is, when you trust Jesus Christ and His death upon the cross as payment for your sin, the Bible tells us the Holy Spirit of God dwells inside of us. In fact, Galatians 3 verse 2, this only what I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. See, the Galatians had the Spirit of God. And we as His children receive the Spirit of God. Your standing is like Paul's if you have trusted in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit of God dwells inside of you. Our sin record has been placed on Christ. And we can have all of our confidence in Christ. Because in the end, Christ is the gospel. This whole entire thing, this movement, we could call it, hinges on Christ. Not on some man who tells to live right, but on the man, the Emmanuel, God with us. It hinges on Him. It does not hinge on all the works of the prophets, all the works of the apostles, all the works of those Christians down through the ages. Yes, they had a point, but it all hinges on what Christ did. Our being declared right in the eyes of God, our ability to come before God and have our sins forgiven, is based on the merit of what Christ did and Christ alone. Paul is not going to invalidate the grace of God. Look what he says here in verse 21. I do not frustrate the grace of God. I am not going to invalidate the grace, the unmerited favor of Almighty God. I'm not going to frustrate it. I'm not going to confuse it or add to it or take it away. For if righteousness came by the law, if there was some way that the law could have saved, then Christ died in vain. There was no reason for Him to come. There was no reason for Him to hang on the cross. There was no reason for Him to have all of our sin placed upon Him. But there was no law. And Paul says, I am not going to frustrate the grace of God. I am not going to cause it to be invalidated, the grace of God that hung Him upon that cross, that reaches out to you and me. If we need to work to be declared righteous, Christ has died in vain. If you and I think we can come before God and do something to obtain His good pleasure, think of it this way. Our sin is too great and the price paid beyond measure for us to work or to obtain it. There is nothing we could do. It's all about Christ and Christ's finished work on the cross. It is finished in Christ. If you are doing anything to I am right with God because I've done X, Y, and Z. I have done these things to be right with God. My friend, you're trusting in another gospel because the gospel is in Jesus Christ. All that I am and all that I can be is because I have trusted in the work of Jesus Christ. And Paul, in a very passionate speech to Peter, reminds him that Peter works doing things to be right in the eyes of God for our salvation is not possible. It is justification by faith, just like the Old Testament taught to now. To the Galatians, he is saying, rest assured, O church in Galatia, the message has been the same. Our justification has always been and will always be by faith in Jesus Christ. Galatians is a book that says later on to stand fast in the liberty that we have. Well, this liberty comes because of Christ. Freedom comes because of Christ. And when we understand this and we apply it to our life, when you understand that it is not you, it is not the things that you do, but it is Christ. Boy, all the things that we attempt in this life, all the, it's just so much more realizing that it's Christ who did all of the heavy work. All we are and all we can be and all we will ever be is found in faith in Jesus Christ. It is not in a single thing that you and I do. Our Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for, Lord, just the sacrifice that you paid upon the cross for our sin. Lord, the cost was so high. And you were willing to humble yourself, to lower yourself down upon that cross for us. Every little thing that I have done, every little thing that everyone in this room has done against your command. And Father, you were willing to take all of that so that when God looked at us, now he sees you. And Father, there's no reason why you should have other than your love for us. Lord, I pray that you would help us to look to you. Father, if there is someone here tonight that does not know you, Lord, I pray that they would not trust in themselves, that they would not trust in anything that they might do, but they would solely and wholly look to you to save. Father, for the brethren here tonight, I pray that you would help us to have boldness, realizing, Lord, just how much you have done for us, and that we stand right in your presence because of what Christ did upon the cross. And Lord, we do thank you for it. Help us to live with it every day, that we might not forget, and that we will stand for the faith, and that the gospel will be seen in our life, so that when folks look at us, they will see you. Lord, we do thank you and love you for all that you've done. In Jesus' name.